Okay, let's unpack this. Imagine you are staring at a blank screen.
Just a blinking cursor.
Right, just a blinking cursor, a raw line of code. And your boss, or maybe society or the government, is asking you to do something basically impossible.
They want you to program human morality into a machine.
Exactly. That is what we are digging into today. We are taking a deep dive into the exact intersection where cold, hard mathematical algorithms crash headfirst into the incredibly messy world of human ethics.
It's a collision course.
It really is. Our mission today is to dissect this rigorous graduate-level lecture we have on the ethics of artificial intelligence. And we are going to look specifically at the tension between individual rights and collective societal well-being.
And right out of the gate, we're looking at a fundamental paradox in systems engineering.
Right, the zero-sum game.
Yes, you simply cannot program an artificial intelligence to maximize every human value at the same time. It's mathematically impossible.
Choosing to optimize for one ethical good often, well, mathematically guarantees the destruction of another.
What's fascinating here is the sheer uncompromising nature of the math. I mean, when philosophers sit around and debate morality, they can live in the gray areas.
Yeah, they love the gray
Right.
areas.
But in software architecture, variables like human dignity, equity, privacy, they can't exist as vague, feel-good concepts.
They have to be quantified.
Precisely. They must be defined as objective functions, meaning the code needs a specific target to aim for, an actual number to maximize or minimize.
And the lecture we're exploring today presents this brilliant, sobering reality. When you translate moral philosophy into algorithmic logic, you immediately run into irreconcilable zero-sum games.
If one number goes up, another number absolutely has to go down.
So today, we're going to map out exactly how this happens in the real world. We'll look at the technical and experiential definitions of de-skilling, the algorithmic engineering behind social media's attempt at an inclusion society, and finally, the dark mathematical necessity of what the lecture calls the hyper-equity state.
Let's start with that first concept, de-skilling.
Yeah, when we talk about AI taking over, the author breaks down job loss into two distinct buckets. To make this concrete, the lecture uses a very specific case study:
The radiologist.
the radiologist. So the first bucket is the initial fear, the one constantly making headlines. We can call it economic de-skilling.
Right. In this scenario, the AI simply takes the radiologist's job entirely.
The machine reads the X-rays faster, cheaper, and more accurately.
And the individual's years of specialized medical training are rendered economically worthless.
Yeah.
You are out of a job.
It's the straightforward displacement model.
It is straightforward, and it's what everyone expects. But then the lecture pivots to a second, far more insidious category.
Cognitive de-skilling.
Yes. This is where the horror story gets subtle. In this scenario, the radiologist does not lose their job. They retain their title, their salary, their corner office.
The hospital keeps them on staff to oversee the AI.
Exactly. However, because they depend entirely upon the machine to make the actual diagnostic decisions day in and day out, they gradually lose the internal skill of being a radiologist.
They forget how to interpret the subtle shadows on a scan.
The job remains intact, but the human cognitive capacity is hollowed out by reliance on the external algorithmic tool.
It's the GPS effect, right? I mean, I used to know exactly how to navigate my entire city. Now, if my phone dies, I am completely lost 3 blocks from my house because I've offloaded my spatial awareness to an app.
That is the perfect everyday analogy for it. And what's incredible is how old this anxiety actually is.
Oh, the Plato story.
Yes, to ground this historically, the lecture reaches back thousands of years to ancient Greece, specifically to Plato's dialogue, the Phaedrus.
There's this amazing story where the inventor of writing, a god named Phuth, approaches the king of the gods, Tamis.
And the inventor proudly presents his new technology.
Written words. He claims it's a marvel that will perfect human memory and grant wisdom because now humans can simply write everything down and store their knowledge.
But here's where it gets really interesting.
The king of the gods doesn't celebrate the invention. He counters with a devastating argument. He essentially says, "You haven't invented a potion for memory. You've invented a potion for reminding."
He warns that this tool will not preserve memory at all. It will destroy it.
By replacing internal cognitive effort with an external technological tool, humans will simply stop using their brains to remember. They will become filled with the conceit of wisdom instead of real wisdom.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, Plato's warning is the exact historical parallel to algorithmic cognitive de-skilling.
The technology that appears to assist our skills actually confiscates them.
The modern radiologist relying blindly on the AI diagnostic tool is
the exact equivalent of the ancient citizen relying on the scroll.
Precisely. The internal mechanism atrophies. And this brings us directly into a massive ethical clash. How is society supposed to handle this technological decimation of human skill?
The lecture outlines two profoundly different philosophical frameworks for dealing with this fallout: the fairness response and the solidarity or equity response.
And we should note, we're not taking sides here. The lecture doesn't endorse one political framework over another. We're just looking at how these two very different societal values operate when pushed to their logical limits by technology.
Absolutely. So let's look at the fairness response first. The author describes this approach as highly individualistic.
From this perspective, the introduction of artificial intelligence presents an equal disruption across the board.
The burden of adaptation falls entirely on the individual. If your skills as a radiologist are rendered obsolete, whether your job is eliminated economically or your brain is hollowed out cognitively, fairness dictates that it is up to you to retrain, adapt, and secure a new role.
The system owes you nothing more than a level playing field. It's harsh, but it champions personal responsibility.
It essentially says, the rules are the same for everyone, good luck.
Conversely, the solidarity or equity response is deeply collectivist. It operates on the premise that society functions as an interconnected whole, not just a bunch of isolated individuals fending for themselves.
Under this framework, when a technological revolution structurally decimates an entire profession, society owes a fundamental debt to the people who are displaced.
The logic is that the collective benefits from the AI's efficiency, so the collective is obligated to mitigate the harm done to the individual.
Therefore, to ensure no one is left behind, societal resources must be actively diverted to benefit the displaced. This leans heavily on the philosophical principle that the greatest advantage must be given to the least advantaged. Wait, hold on. Who decides who the least advantaged are? I mean, a radiologist making a huge salary who loses their job is technically displaced, but are they the least advantaged in society?
That is a massive question. The application of that equity response seems incredibly complicated to actually put into practice.
And that is exactly the friction we are going to explore. But first, we have to acknowledge that this forces us to choose a foundational premise for our societal structure in the age of automation.
If you believe society should take significant action like universal basic income or massive retraining programs to benefit those harmed by AI, you are arguing from a position of equity, demanding structural intervention.
But if you lean toward the fairness response, you are advocating for individual autonomy and self-determination, accepting the painful reality that some people will inevitably fail to adapt.
So what does this all mean? It means the tension between the individual and the collective isn't just an economic problem.
It amplifies drastically when we move from money and jobs to social cohesion. The lecture transitions from discussing vertical equity, which is all the stuff we just talked about, jobs, income, resources.
Horizontal equity.
Right, horizontal equity focuses on inclusion. Mm-hmm. It is not just about ensuring no one is left behind financially. It is about ensuring no one is left outside socially.
Is the pursuit of a society where tribalism is minimized and diverse groups actually talk to each other.
Which brings us to the algorithmic creation of the inclusion society, and frankly, one of the most sobering ironies in modern technological engineering.
The lecture provides a brilliant case study of social media engineering at platforms like Instagram, Facebook, and X. It asks us to look at how a developer technically translates an abstract value like individual well-being or autonomy into measurable code.
Because remember, the algorithm needs an objective function. It needs a number to maximize.
Right. You can't just type make the user happy into Python.
You have to define what well-being looks like behaviorally.
So the engineer assumes, quite logically, that individual well-being is increased by having digital conversations with people you know well.
Your friends and family.
And interacting with highly personalized content that aligns perfectly with your specific interests.
So the algorithm is optimized to facilitate exactly that. It tracks your clicks, your linger time, your likes, and it maximizes your personal freedom to find and communicate with those who share your exact views.
And it works flawlessly. It gives the user exactly what they want.
But this raises an important question regarding the forced trade-off between equity and autonomy.
The profound irony here is that by perfectly executing the code for individual well-being and personal freedom, the algorithm accidentally engineers the filter bubble.
It systematically isolates you into a digital tribe.
The author points out that an algorithm attempting to do entirely positive autonomy-respecting things inevitably causes mass societal polarization.
By giving the individual absolute freedom to curate their reality, the collective social fabric is splintered. I feel this all the time. If left entirely up to my own autonomy, my social media feed is just golden retrievers, obscure book recommendations, and
some machine reviews.
Exactly. It is perfectly curated. I love it, but I am completely isolated from the real world. I am in a localized bubble of happiness, entirely disconnected from any broader societal discourse.
And that realization forces a massive ethical dilemma on the engineers. If we recognize that optimizing for individual freedom creates a tribalized, fractured society, how do we engineer for horizontal equity?
How do we build an inclusion society where people are exposed to different viewpoints and remain socially cohesive?
According to the math of the lecture, developers would have to intentionally degrade the user's individual autonomy.
Let's actually break down what that degradation entails, because it sounds intense.
It is.
To achieve a cohesive solidarity, to break my golden retriever bubble, the algorithm would have to be adjusted to force me into encountering opposing viewpoints.
Whether through explicit engineering or algorithmic shadow banning of your preferred content, you would lose the freedom to perfectly curate your digital reality.
The app would inevitably become less enjoyable, more contentious, and inherently less comfortable for me to use. We would have to deliberately engineer friction into the individual's daily experience just to preserve the collective whole.
You are looking at a direct, mathematically unavoidable conflict. You can prioritize personal autonomy, which respects the individual's right to build their own reality.
But you must accept the resultant tribalism and polarization.
Or you can prioritize equity and solidarity, creating a cohesive, inclusive society.
But you must accept that doing so requires coercing individuals. It requires overriding their freedom of choice and forcing them to consume content they do not want.
You cannot maximize both. The values stand in direct opposition.
This philosophical collision reaches its absolute apex in the final segment of the lecture. We move from the tension between equity and autonomy to an even darker conflict.
The conflict between equity and privacy.
The lecture introduces the concept of the hyper-equity society. If we return to that principle of vertical equity we mentioned earlier, the mandate to allocate the greatest benefit to the least advantaged, we run into what the academic world calls a massive epistemic problem.
Yes, the epistemic problem. Epistemic just refers to knowledge or the limits of what we can know.
Algorithmically, the problem is this. How do you locate the least advantaged?
If society's prime directive, the objective function of our government or our resource allocation AI, is to ensure that no citizen is left behind financially or socially, the system making the decisions must be able to accurately identify who is at risk.
It needs data.
Tons of it.
So to translate that, you can't cure an inequality that you cannot measure, and you cannot measure what you cannot see.
So to perfectly execute a hyper-equity state, the administrative algorithm requires absolute knowledge of every citizen's personal life.
It needs to know exactly what you have in your bank account, how you live, your physical health, your mental vulnerabilities,
your social standing, your daily habits.
Which brings us to a chilling logical conclusion. True societal equity mathematically necessitates a regime of total social surveillance.
The lecture states this unequivocally. Taking the side of perfect equity implies and requires social surveillance.
Now, surveillance is, by definition, a mechanism that harms the individual's right to privacy. But in this specific ethical framework, it is justified because it helps the society by diminishing inequality.
If equity is the highest good, the destruction of individual privacy is simply the required operational cost.
So to make sure absolutely no one slips through the cracks, the algorithm essentially has to spy on everyone all the time. That is a massive, heavy trade-off.
To really drive this home, the lecture beautifully contrasts this with the Will Chamberlain experiment.
Ah, yes. The classic thought experiment from political philosopher Robert Nozick. Let's actually explain that Will Chamberlain thought experiment for anyone who hasn't taken Political Philosophy 101, because it completely flips the script on this whole dilemma.
Nozick says, imagine a perfectly equal society. Let's say we actually achieved perfect vertical equity. Everyone has the exact same amount of money in their bank accounts.
Now, imagine Will Chamberlain, the famous basketball player, is in this society. People love watching him play.
So a million people decide, entirely of their own free will, to drop 25 cents into a box to watch Will Chamberlain play a game.
It's a tiny, completely voluntary transaction. Every individual exercises their personal autonomy and their privacy to spend a quarter.
Exactly. But look at the math at the end of the game. 1 million people are now out 25 cents, and Will Chamberlain just made $250,000.
He is now vastly richer than everyone else. The perfect equity of the society has been completely destroyed.
The point Nozick was making, and the point the lecture is reinforcing, is that if you start with absolute ethical respect for the individual.
If your foundational variables are autonomy, dignity, and absolute privacy.
The natural, mathematically unavoidable result over time is societal inequality.
People will make free choices. Some will accumulate more resources, and because you respect their autonomy and privacy, you cannot intervene to stop them or forcefully redistribute their wealth.
Liberty upsets patterns.
Liberty upsets patterns. That's exactly it.
This is where we have to connect everything to the bigger picture. The absolute symmetry of this dilemma is astounding.
Just as we saw personal autonomy conflicting with social cohesion on Instagram, we see personal privacy conflicting with economic equity in the Will Chamberlain example.
These are all iterations of the oldest conflict in human ethics, the individual versus the collective.
The difference now is that the architecture of artificial intelligence forces us to answer the question objectively and permanently in code.
Where do we start? Do we build the algorithm from the individual up, guaranteeing privacy and freedom and accepting the resulting societal inequality and polarization?
Or do we build from the collective down, guaranteeing a perfectly equitable, inclusive society where no one is left behind, but accepting the necessary erasure of individual privacy and autonomy to maintain it?
So what does this all mean? The synthesis of this entire deep dive is a recognition of an uncompromising reality.
Values like human dignity, personal privacy, and societal equity are no longer just abstract concepts debated by philosophers in dusty seminars.
They're active, quantifiable variables in a zero-sum algorithmic equation. You simply cannot maximize all of them.
Programming an artificial intelligence to manage societal resources or social media feeds or medical diagnostics forces a definitive mathematical choice between competing ethical goods. The code requires a hierarchy of values.
And this brings us to the ultimate implication for you, the listener. As you navigate a world increasingly governed by these exact algorithmic trade-offs, you have to realize that the abstract decisions being made by software engineers today regarding these variables will dictate the foundational, concrete social reality of tomorrow.
We leave you with this final, uncompromising dilemma, a hypothetical to chew on after this deep dive ends. If you were the sole architect of tomorrow's foundational social algorithm, the AI that will run the global economy and govern human interaction, and you had to hard code its ultimate unchangeable directive, which do you sacrifice? The absolute privacy and autonomy of the individual's mind, or the guarantee of a perfectly equitable society where no citizen is ever left behind? Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.